resume our interview. We are running a little bit behind, but like I've said, that we might be disturbed from time to time to go and vote in the house and so on, if needs be. But I hope the opposition are not going to make us to vote on any, so that we have a seamless flow of the interview. Honorable Shin, you can send the chief with us a message not to call any division in the house, so that we proceed here. Welcome, Miss or Mrs. Miss Amanda Matikisa. It's our next candidate. You are most welcome. I hope they coach you how to use the technology before you. I hope they gave you something to write on, because the questions will take it in a probably 3 to 4 questions at once. So you must be able to note the questions and then respond. Feel free, relax. Members, as they ask questions, they will introduce themselves. You'll be unlucky to know those who are going to ask questions. But those who are going to ask questions, you know them because they introduce themselves. Myself, I'm Skumbuzo Eric Kolwane, chairing the committee for these interviews. We are ready to go when you are ready. From my side, the first question will be there's two questions, depending on what responses on the other members' questions. But my first question is around that we had 147 nominations and shortlisted 37, and one withdrawal, we've got 36. We need 12. What is it which you have, of course, in terms of skills and related capacity, which you think that this committee must consider you in the last 12? In fact, I'm trying to say, can you sell yourself to us why you must be considered to be in the board of the SABC? Of course, based on your skill, I assume that you obvious have seen the adverts calling the nomination, meaning in terms of those skills which are there in terms of the adverts you are calling nomination. We don't know, want to know how much millions do you have in a bank. So we just want to know in terms of skill capabilities to serve in the board of the SABC. That would be my question. I'm looking on my right to members whether they are ready to ask their questions. I can see they are not ready. You can respond to my question whilst they are thinking. Respond to my question whilst they are thinking. They'll charge, they have to be charged. Honorable Rudolph?
Maybe it's not that we are, you know, we are delegating, because I think some of us are just perplexed by the way you are starting the whole thing. We thought, Ms. Magida will introduce herself and then come to what you asked me. And then you can take it from there, what she knows and everything.
Thank you. You can do that, introduce yourself and answer the question, and then we take the question from member.
First of all, I want to thank you for the opportunity to be here. Thank you for the question, and thank you for the opportunity, ma'am, to introduce my app. Just a slight apology, I had a bit of symptom of flu, so I've got a bit of a hoarse voice. But nonetheless, I hope to be able to articulate myself very clearly, and and enjoy today's session most importantly. My name is Amanda Madeliza. I've been based in Cape Town, I grew up in Nyanga East. And for me, communication, I'm a communication specialist. I studied at UDT, I had the privilege of studying at St. Cyprian's Rosary, and I studied communications at UDT. And from there, as one of the subjects that I did, I was supposed to be something else, but I found communication and my father said I spoke too much. So I then moved and I worked in various companies in the private sector as a communication specialist, working across the spectrum from a junior communication person up to being a director for the city of Cape Town. I've had the honor and the privilege of working for Unilever, who works in engineering and heading up communication in those different sectors. I've also headed up communication within Sanlam in employment benefits. And my biggest challenge, and I guess my biggest victory, was being nominated and being appointed as the director of communication for the city of Cape Town. I both worked for the PA tenure and as well as the ANC tenure during that period. So I then ran a communications company and I now do communications freelancing for different people. My main focus is still is strategy. I do communication strategy and I also, as an offshoot of that, do brand building. So I own brands and I believe brands are owned of people. So brands are not just, you know, organizations that are formed of people who believe in what the organization stands for. So that's what I do. And I now have a business of my own, which is in the oil sector, and that's what I do in my private time. Thank you.
Oh, the easy is hot. Honorable Mutua, Lizoma, Killer, Shin, I do my Asama. Honorable Mutua.
Thank you, Ms. Klan. Miss Nortado Madiza. You know, when you talk about the Madizas, we think of the Madizelas, you mix them up. What's your understanding of the broadcasting environment in South Africa? You remember we had changed some of the issues since we were in parliament and we were concerned about converging the telecommunications and I don't know what you think about that and in the era now of development, technological development, what do you think about it? What do you understand about the broadcasting environment in the DNA? And if you have been working as a leader in communication in all the companies that you've mentioned, there is a concern that sometimes this department, the one that we have in the government, should be called something else. Because other people don't understand what communications is as far as we are concerned as lawmakers. And what does this department entail as far as you know? How far does it go? And all the laws that are there that have to be complied to, such as PFMA, Kindry, and Broadcasting Act, and all the others, and the Companies Act. Could you, in a nutshell, just tell us what you think the Communications Department is about? And also, what would be the relationship of the stakeholder and include also the public broadcaster, which is SABC, and that is a question you can just elaborate on that until we come to where I was asking. The other area that I would like you to enter is since the advent of the prophet and the ABDC establishment in this era of democracy, what went on? What went on? Can you maybe tell us what you think went on? And what needs to be fixed by their consent? And by who? Is it by executive? By the shareholder? By the board? If you can just elaborate on that. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Ms. Matikiza, for showing interest to come to this interview. I'm sure, Ms. Matikiza, that you'll agree with me that communication, as the Honorable Member Rudua have alluded to, is different from marketing and PR, which is not, is two separate issues. With that also, picking up on the question that Honorable Ruto has asked, the last one would get a better appreciation of understanding the corporate or the industry, which is the CPC as a day. Sub to that, Chairperson, the question that is direct to be, in your understanding, what is the role of the board versus the executive directors? And most importantly for me, what is the functions in your understanding and responsibilities of the group chief executive officer and editor-in-chief versus the functions of the heads of radio, television, sports, education and news? Should the CEO and editor-in-chief role separated? If so, why? If not, why also? So whatever answer one will give, one will appreciate a submitting statement on the Chairperson. Secondly, Chairperson, with an assumption that you understand the issue that makes the SAPC as it may to be in the public gallery as it may, your understanding then of Section 6 of 5 of the Broadcasting Act, which requires the board of the SAPC to develop a range of policies. Though a process of public consultation, which among other things include news policy, programming policy, local content policy, education policy, and the likes. The Act is not clear what the regulator's role be in this regard to the policies, apart from merely stipulating that the SAPC board lodge such policies with ICASA, which is a regulator, without spelling out whether the regulator has to monitor the compliance thereof of those policies, and also without spelling out the monitor the policies and compliance to those policies within the license conditions. What in your own view, ma'am, what in your own view should be the relationship between the two, the regulator and SAPC? Probably also and the ministers, if I may say that, also adding, just to add up on that. Chairperson, the other one, moving from an assumption that you understand the organization or the SAPC or the corporate, that if you are lucky, you will be part of each board. This one relates to, it's up to you how you take it, but it talks to the funding model, as it may. The ruling party, then, you know that the SAPC is funded by government, and also it gets its other money from the commission. So my question, Chairperson, is that, do you think this current funding model is the most best one? Does it encourage interference? I'll not spell out who interferes in where, but I'm just saying general, because government also funds the institution. Does it encourage what you call it, interference, or what in your own, or in your own view? The last one, Chairperson, which would be my fourth question, in terms of the Act, Section 13 of 18, in that appreciation and responding to my second question that I asked earlier on, in terms of which relates to the roles and responsibilities of the executive and the board, would be that it says here the board is the accounting authority of the corporation. One would like to get the appreciation and the separation of the responsibilities and accountability, because there's a very thin line between the executive and non-executive. And how can you best manage that process so that there's no overlapping and misunderstanding of the roles? Chairperson, the very last one, is my fifth one as usual, will be, is there anything that may, that you think of may disqualify you? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Probably respond to the question. There seems to be too many. Then I'll go to the next hand.
Thank you so much, man. It is quite a lot. So if you just bear with me just to go through them quite slowly. Okay. Now your first question was, what's my understanding of the broadcasting environment in South Africa as it relates to the broad term of communication and technology? Very broadly, I'm not a broadcasting specialist. Okay, so that settled that. I'm not a broadcasting specialist. I do communication. So what my understanding of the broadcasting environment in South Africa is that we have moved from, or we are in the process of moving from digital, from analog to digital. Now, the broadcasting environment in South Africa is one where, if you talk specifically around SABC and PMA, it's one way. In the past, you said, well, how did it move? In the past, yes, it was controlled. It was a state-controlled organization. Now it's an organization where there are charters and objectives, and there's an act that defines how it should operate. And its core main responsibility is to inform and educate and inform, educate, and entertain the public through information. So it's a dispersal of information, be it through sound, which is radio, or telecommunicate, or television, which is the television medium. So it's a sharing of information services through those various means. Okay. So that is my broad understanding of that. And because it is funded by government, man, if I can allude to what you're saying, there are laws that govern, that is partly funded by government. There are laws that govern how that funding should happen or how expenditure should happen. For instance, the PFMA, as you said, which is basically the law that says how you spend government funding, you know, in a transparent way. So those are the things that are important. Now, you spoke about the Broadcasting Act and how that relates to Company Act and corporate governance. In any organization where there's public funding, or even if there's public funding, there needs to be corporate governance. The King 2 report talks about good governance. So ethical conduct, there needs to be transparency. There needs to be accountability with regards to the principles of that organization. So the Companies Act is quite important in relating to that, given the fact that in some parastatals, which what SABC does find itself, which is quasi-government, you know, there is government funding, but there's also the Company Act that says, and as well as government, PMMA that says how or regulate how funding should be and how expenditure should be and how the mandate should be carried out, and hence it reports to Parliament. I hope in a nutshell I've been able to answer that broadly. You said, let's talk about the relationship between the stakeholders. Who should be the stakeholders? That was a question that you asked. You said, in the advent of democracy, what do I think went wrong now with SABC? Am I correct to say that was the question? What do I believe, in my view, went wrong? Like you said, I believe there's a lot of things that went right. First of all, you know, because we switch on television and it works, and we get good quality programming. I've traveled quite a lot, and I travel quite a lot within Africa, specifically West Africa. What we have is GEM. We have people who have skills. We have people who produce excellent quality programming. Really excellent. And there's been really an improvement from the past to where we're going in the future. Yes, there's been challenges, but I'd really like to put it on point to say, watching, you know, when you come in as a tourist and you look at our television and you switch and you want to know about South Africa, the quality is excellent. There's no break in transmission. And the execution is really world class. So for me, that has gone extremely right. The SABC functions because the people that make the engine work function at exceptional. That's the first thing. What did go wrong, obviously, when you look where I was sitting, I wasn't involved in the board, wasn't involved in the intricacies, was obviously the media issues around, the instability around the board. That gave, you know, a lot of, I don't want to say dissatisfaction, but it took away from the confidence of a brand or a product that delivers so well in the marketplace. So that is the one that we've drawn. How should we fix it? Ma'am, my view is a collection of stakeholders. The SABC belongs to the nation, and it's made of stakeholders, being the audience, being government, being the private sector, who are the advertisers as well, you know, and the staff who are critically working in SABC. It's a collective. And yes, they are accounting, we are accounting to Parliament, but I think it's important to, as a collective, it's important to ask the public, what do you want from your SABC? What does it mean to you? What kind of information are you interested in? Within the Broadcasting Act, it does say we must take into consideration the audience needs and reflect the attitude of the audience and reflect their views as well as their language and their interests. So it's important to say that is a very important stakeholder, the public. Is a very important, not through dissemination of news only, but in actually actively going out to find out. This is because, you know, if you ask the public, you probably get quite a diverse view of what they would like from the broadcaster man. The second question that you asked is, ma'am, if I could answer you, the second question was, do I agree that communication differs from marketing and PR? My understanding from having studied it is that communication is a broad term. It talks to the ability to talk to somebody. Now, the different facets of communication. PR is when you script a message for a particular way because you want a particular outcome. It is you have a message and you get it the way you want it. So people will listen to your message the way you want them to listen to it. Communication is, we are talking, it's a two-way communication, two-way talking between individuals, be it one-on-one or one-to-many. And then marketing is selling the benefits only of the product that you have or the message that you have without it taking into consideration that there might be flaws. So the focus there is the benefits. You're not interested in the flaws, you're not interested in the things that are negative, you're only selling the benefits of what this product will do. That is that. And then, what is the role of the board versus the executive? My understanding, ma'am, obviously in preparing for this, I went on the website, as anybody else should, and you read about, as I said, I'm not a broadcast specialist, but if I'm prepared for the interview and I'm prepared for the role, I have to inform myself to the best of my ability. I'm not understanding, you know, all the technical legalese, but the best of my ability within the sector of what the role of the board is. My understanding is that the board should be made out of cross-sectional representatives who, as a collective, form a cross-section of the society of South Africa. So it's a representative board. And their core job is to make sure that the charter, which governs how the SABC conducts its business, is adhered to. They must believe in the objectives and the principles of the charter. What is that? That the SABC is a sustainable organization. That the SABC is an organization that depicts the multicultural society in which we live. That the SABC, not only is it sustainable, but it's an organization that gives out balanced news, that adds to the advancement of our society and our nation. So it's not just to inform, which is the objective of the organization, it's to inform, to educate, and to entertain. I'd like to add that we have a responsibility, as the SABC, if I can say, to inspire as well. So for me, that is a very important. It's not in the objective, it's not in the mission, but it's my reason. Just going to find out, to answer what Che asked me, why should I be involved? And I said, for me, it's about inspiration. It's about inspiring South Africans to be better and to do better, because words form a person, imagery form a person. So what we see of the SABC should reflect not only of where we are or where we want to be. And then, ma'am, you said, what do I understand, the question you asked, what do I understand the role of the board? So that's the board, is to give direction and to ensure that the direction is adhered to. You asked what is the role of the executive. The executive is to do the day-to-day running of the organization based on the direction that's mandated by the Broadcasting Act with the guidance of the board. So it's the day-to-day fiscal management, but financial management, productivity management, sustainable financial management of that organization to ensure that it dispenses its duty, which is to inform, to educate, and to entertain. And as I say, to inspire as well. You also asked, ma'am, what is my view of the group editor and the role of the CEO being separated from the role of the CEO of the radio station? Am I correct? Is what you asked, ma'am? If you can repeat that.
The role between the group CEO and the head of news. As probably know that in the SSEC, the group CEO is also the editor-in-chief. It just becomes a delegated responsibility to the head of news, but the actual editor-in-chief is the group CEO. As we speak now, that's the setup. So it was the difference or the difference role within those.
Okay, so in this current scenario, the head of news is to compile the news, basically, because if they're not the chief, if they're not the editor-in-chief, they can compile the news according to journalistic excellence, which is balanced news that takes views of all parties concerned, depending on what you are communicating. And the role of the CEO being editor-in-chief, they're the ones with the final say on the, not necessarily the content of the news, but so not the content of the news, but the responsibility of NABC responding to that news or communicating that news. So my understanding is that the two can work if there's defining lines. As an organization, if I could just put an example, if your responsibility is to build cars and you're the GM of General Motors, you're responsible for the product that comes out. It doesn't mean you are the mechanic or the engineer that actually puts it together, but you're responsible for the final product that comes out. Should there be a problem, the product will come back to you as a chief operating, as a good CEO. So my understanding is that though the lines might be close, they don't necessarily have to be the same. There can be a separation of those responsibilities. Who compiles the news from a journalistic perspective and who's ultimately to face legally the face of the organization should something go wrong with that news content. Yes, I'm done. So thank you.
Thank you. Please switch off the mic. Honorable Killen and Shin, you are next. I see Kekan and Sandy. For follow-up, Salukan. Let me finish the round. Honorable Killen, Shin, Kekan, Ntambi, Stay. Clem?
Thank you, Chairperson. Actually, the previous question was quite sort of wide, and therefore I thought maybe we actually don't need any supplementary questions, but I just wanted to zoom into one aspect, if you will allow me. Chair, I would like to ask Ms. Marikiza, and that is, if she was watching what the controversy within the board has been in the past, we now get to be appointed the fourth board in 4 years. If she could perhaps just indicate if she followed that, and if she understood what the essential problems were that they were facing, including some sort of challenges with regards to financial management. If she could give any background to that. And then secondly, she indicated clearly, and it was a very extensive response to the role of a communicator and the role of a VR company, etc. But if she looks at the basket of different fields of qualifications, expertise, and experience that we will require in a board. Her marketing experience, does she understand who the SABC is currently competing with? And can she give us any indication of viewer figures and listeners? On the one hand, obviously, we have radio, and on the other hand, we have television. Can she please just give us an indication of with which segments of the market is the SABC currently having particular sort of competition with, and how she believes her particular experience and marketing could assist in driving both financial sort of benefits through advertisements, and secondly, make the SABC more competitive with regards to some of the other broadcasters that the SABC is competing with, particularly as far as television is concerned. Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Lesoma asked a question about the disqualification. Whether as things stand now you do qualify to be appointed. I assume you are familiar with the clause section 16, if I'm not mistaken, which is dealing with disqualification, people who cannot be appointed, and so on. So probably when you respond to the bench of questions, you must also include that. Honorable Shin.
Thank you. Mr. Kiza, what we know that you're a marketing and communications expert, but what specific skills do you think, or value you think that adds to the board of the SABC? And I also want to know why you want to be involved with the broadcasting industry. I mean, what excites you about it, or you know, there's many other industries you could get involved in. Why broadcasting? Then could you list for me some of the acts of Parliament that will govern your operations as a member of the SABC board, and whether you're familiar with any of these, if you have worked with any of them before. And then can you also please tell me how many operating divisions does the SABC have, and how these are managed? Thank you.
Thank you, Tarekeka. Thank you, Chair. If I heard you correctly, when you were talking about the role of SABC board, you mentioned as one of the roles, they've got to physically manage SABC. I didn't understand that, because how do they physically, you mean they go out and physically hand on like managers, because they're managers there. Won't there be a clash of roles if that's the case? Two, you also mentioned the legislation that prescribed the finance of government to SABC. Do you know what percentage that is? If you do, what do you think of it? Is it good, bad, or the percentage that government gives to SABC as prescribed by the statute?
Thank you, Honorable Kekan Tandi.
Thank you, Chair. I believe you have been following the developments around the SABC, and then you must have seen the SABC's role, performance, and corporate governance issues as the major issues of the SABC itself. What will you do differently in order to ensure that the SABC complies with the constitutional provisions, the Public Finance Management Act, King 3, and what are these policies complementary in solving the governance issues? If you read Section 66 of the Companies Act and Section 76, they give responsibility to directors of a company. Can you share with us what is the expectation directors of the company, given the huge responsibility that your community is given? Can you also maybe address us on the fiduciary duty to act in good faith? This is linked to what Honorable Shoma has raised to say. Are there not any other issues that will deter you from serving in the board? And then also you are understanding in compliance with laws and regulations, and you also deal with the ethical leadership that is expected from you as a board member. Thank you, Jessica.
Thank you. Spain.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Butch Stein, Ms. Madikiza. You called yourself earlier a communications specialist, and you indicated you develop strategies on communication for your clients, and you also do brain building. However, considering the position that you've made yourself available for, you neglected to indicate that in your CV. I actually don't find the specific qualities in your CV, which I believe would be a pretty big oversight on your part. Now, you also, and I've read through it, and I've seen your previous involvement in the marketing communications sectors of various organizations. However, since, over the last, probably 2004, thereabouts, you've been involved in the oil business. Now, it's two very different areas of expertise as well. Can you give me an indication why the oil business? Were you simply at the right place at the right time? But to sort of deviate from what you tended to study in and then get into the oil business and now wanting to come back into the sort of media area, is it's huge shifts within a professional person's life, and it would take a mind shift as well in terms of everyday activities. Now, the other thing that bothers me a little bit, and I'd like to give you the opportunity to expand on it, when you were asked the question about the so-called problems that the SABC has and how it should be fixed, you replied that it was the responsibility of many stakeholders. The problem I have with it is, whilst I agree that there are many stakeholders involved in all of this, somebody needs to take charge, somebody needs to take the lead to rectify and fix these things. And then it didn't come across from you. You sort of said, you know, everybody must do it collectively, and in fact use the word collectively, which is a bit of a cop-out for me. If anybody gives me a similar answer, not just to that question, but where they look at a collective rather than identifying who must lead that collective to fix this. You also have very little board experience. You indicate three boards here, who are quite different, and I'm not, there's not much information. I don't know what the size of these boards are, what their responsibilities are, but I am a little bit concerned in that you've got very little board experience, or in fact experience in actually running business other than this oil business that you're involved in. And you may have been asked the question I'm going to pose now previously, so you can just link it. What skills do you believe you can bring to the SABC board? And then lastly, Chairperson, the SABC recently launched a 24-hour news channel on the DStv platform. I would like your views on whether that was the right thing to do, going the DStv way, and if so, motivate why you believe it was the right thing, and if not, also motivate why you believe it was perhaps not the right thing to do. Thank you, Chair.
that was the last hand for his bite. I was honorably Soma for a follow-up. You may respond to the question I'll go over to Honorable Soma if by the time you finish you still not cover. You may respond.
Can I just ask and repeat my question? May I ask? It's been quite a lot that I'm working through.
We should repeat.
Of Honorable Lusama's question.
We have responded, Honorable.
Oh, okay. Okay, the question I'm going to respond to is basically the question that says, given the marketing, it's your question now, given the marketing environment, what value do I believe I could bring to the SABC board? And who do I believe are competitive to the SABC? And basically, yes, that was the question, because the next question was on the divisions, how many divisional areas are there in the SABC? I believe, given my marketing experience, I think to answer this question, can I go a couple of steps back? Maybe I have not been articulate to say this. The SABC is probably one of the most, second to Coca-Cola in my view, one of the strongest brands in our country. And because of the instability, I believe it lacked credibility. Both with, it was a tough between advertisers looking for the audience, which the ACBC had, but as well as within the stakeholder, the mindset of having credibility because of the instability on the board. And I've been asked, what do I believe was the issue and how best to deal with that? Obviously, I don't know the intricate details, I read what I see, and I also consume the media that was available to at the time. But I do believe that the instability, whether caused by the fact that the media said there was political interference, that's what the media said. The media also said that there was lack of fiscal management and corporate governance, so flouting of financial management, of corporate governance. From the perspective on the outside, it looked like, although the organization itself, as I said in the beginning, is staffed with specialists who know what they do and continue to do what they do well, the image of the organization, based on the instability on the board and the reports that were coming out, was affected. And my role, not only did I do marketing, is, I think if I can just explain, I did marketing, but I also did communication broadly. And in some instances, given the industry where I worked, I also did PR. But in government, I did not market. I was a communication, broad communication person. In the private sector, at Engine, I was marketing. At Sunlam, I was PR. So I believe the broad spectrum of being involved in the sector, in broad, in all facets of communication, as I explained to the first question, communication is a broad umbrella. Under it fits different aspects. You can specialize in the different parts. So my belief is that the role that I would like to bring to the SABC is to build on the stability and the excellence of this excellent brand. To instill pride, not only in the public opinion of the SABC, but in the people who work at the SABC, who make it function every single day. And I believe that's a strength, but also would have never been nominated as a candidate and a finalist for part of the year in this country. That is a gift that I have. It's a strength, and that's what I believe I'd like to bring to the SABC as a board member. But there is still pride within the people that work at the SABC, so that they continue doing what they do, and then also to communicate that as a stable organization. Obviously, there's things that need to be fixed. Corporate governance needs to be fixed. Adherence to PMFA needs to be done. Values needs to be communicated throughout the organization. But there needs to be communication with core stakeholders as well. Not just selling advertising, not just drive revenue, but to instill confidence in the major advertisers that keep the SABC going, and potential advertisers who would otherwise would have gone to the competitors who are paid TV, television, which is DSTV or ETV. So it's to bring back and to grow audience share and to grow revenue. You also ask how best do I think we should do, we should grow revenue. I believe that the public sector has a lot of money to spend. That's where I come from. So you ask, I do not have an experience in board, but the budget that I control was over 50 million rand. Yes, not the billions of SABC, but that was the responsibility directly under my control, legally. So those budgets are available for the SABC. We just need to go out and communicate and give stability. Because brand association is important. Not only are you chasing an audience, but you're also chasing where your brand is positioned. And going forward now with the fragmentation and the new channels that are coming, it's becoming more competitive for the SABC to stay financially viable. One of just the ideas that when I was preparing for this, I was thinking, if I can ask that question, what would I say? There's a lot of corporate social investments, initiatives of companies that are not communicated through the TV media or radio media. Yet they fall into the ambit of the Broadcasting Act, which is to instill national pride and national interest. They are of national interest. So there's opportunities for new revenue within the private sector as well. I hope I asked that correctly, answered that to the best of my ability and with the knowledge that I have. Ma'am, you asked me how many divisions does the SABC have. From what I understand, I know of radio, I know of television, and I know of the e-platform that they provide, which is an e-platform on internet and in the news. That is what I know. Yet I'm going to be educated more about various things once, and if, as Ma'am said, I am blessed to be successful to be on the board. So you said you didn't understand my point about physical management. I'm sorry if that was an error. I did not mean physically, the board physically manages. I meant the executive is there for the day-to-day running of the organization and ensuring its financial stability and adherence to legal framework, as well as to ensure that it, you know, the organization continues to to do its core objective, which is to inform, to educate, and to entertain. And as I said, mine is also to inspire our nation and our people and the people that work at the SABC. There was a question, do I know the percentage of government funding? No, sir. I don't. So you asked about my experience according to the CV and how I've developed strategies. Let me explain how I got to it. I've always been in communication. I've always been in marketing. And all sorts of marketing is selling. I'm a good salesperson. So because of my background with heading up marketing at NJ for the retail sector within the petroleum space, I saw there's an opportunity to sell products. And what I do is that I sell lubricants, I sell oils to independent manufacturers that use oils, whether it's lubricants, or that's what I do. So it's still communication. I still write my strategy. I still develop a brochure. I still do the presentation. I have engineers from engine that work with me to ensure that some, but technically I'm not the technical person, but I'm the agent to sell their products. You said that I have limited board experience and you don't know how big the boards are. I've been taught to the best of the legal framework about the judicial duty of a board. One of the companies that I sit on the board, it's been there since 2008. It's quite a big concern. And as a CEO of Black Empowerment Group, I've had to understand and learn the legal framework and the judicial duty of a board member with regards to executing their duties on the board, based on objectives and those agreements that you have to do on board. So no, I have not been on Transnet, sir. I have not, but what I've been able to bring, I've been able to learn and to be able to input my best of my ability. There was a question about, do I know the Acts of Parliament? Sure. I don't know Parliament, man. Okay. I've familiarized myself with the Broadcasting Act, obviously preparing for this, and when I was nominated to be on the board, I had to start reading about the legal part of the SABC, what the Broadcasting Act says, the access to privacy disadvantages people to give an opportunity on the act in the broadcasting environment. Also the fact that the communication or the content must be in official level languages, and the responsibility to commission, program and edit and communicate content from the SAPC. So with regards to the board, I've tried to educate myself to the best of my ability within Broadcasting Act. And obviously I understand, I work in government, I understand BFMA, and I understand the Government Act with regards to financial expenditure. And having had the privilege of, and be it smaller board compared to us at an SAPC, I've had to understand what King 3 report is, good corporate governance, because legally as a director was appointed according to the Companies Act, you have a fiduciary duty to act and to do what is right on that board. There was a question asked about ethical leadership, and in my view, there's a letter of the law to ethical leadership that says you cannot do or you won't do. That's expected of every person. But I think that's also driven from the core values of the person, man. Of what makes you the person that you are with regards to ethics. And I believe that as a person that I am, spiritually, I'm very spiritually, I come from a very religious, I'm a pastor as well. So that for me, ethical right and wrong is quite an important factor for me.
I don't know what have you done, but I can see Honorable Mruthu was straight when you're talking about your past.
But I mean, there's the law.
You can proceed.
No, I'm just saying, but there's a law. Once you take that responsibility legally, you are mandated to do the ethical and the right and within the legal framework for the good of the organization and not to compromise the organization. There was a question that was asked about that I must not frankly pop out from what I believe were the problems with the SAPC. I do would like to add that you must appreciate that I was an armchair listener, like any person. I have no body at the SABC board who would have told me. I have no relationships here that I would have had privy to, no political, I will tell you my view from being an armchair person and from being a specialist within the communication and having such on board. I just believe that there was no stringent accountability. When it started on the board of the chairman of the board and the CEO of fiscal discipline. So we start there, and then also, from what I read and from what I heard, it is open to debate and dispute. Because people could say, no, this is not what happened, this is actually what happened. I did say, before I answered, that I was an armchair, a home person listening to the news whenever the news is. So it's not technically, this is now the truth. This is what I received from the media. That there was no fiscal discipline. There was no fiscal management. And that came because, in my view, government would always fund. There was no squeezing of the bottom line to say, we need to be accountable for revenue. We need to stay afloat. What are our costings like? What are our expenditures like? We need to make sure that we are profitable. Because we're not driven by profits, that comes in. So there needs to be a relook if the opportunity comes of funding, maybe phasing out government funding and going into a profitability, because there's enough in the market. If there's enough for new channels to happen, there's enough cake for SABC to sweat it out and get more money in. But else there wouldn't have been opportunities for new channels. That is, we'll be fragmenting the market then. Because there's so many players who are advertisers. So we are fragmenting the audience, which means there's more money to be made. So I think it's a mindset of being funded versus a private sector company that says you've got to make it happen. There's shareholder value, there's profitability, there's salaries to be paid. And you can't just go and get more money. You've got to be sustainable. It's that mindset. That's what, so beyond all the politics or all things, I think that was the fundamental problem. Is that when you are funded, largely, you do less, you don't work as hard as when you actually have to earn your bread and butter. It's like being employed and earn your own business. I know the difference. You have to put food on the table. You have to work. There's no guarantee at the end of the month. It's that. I hope I can explain that, sir. Sure. The question about the 24-hour news channel, I was very proud. I must just say, I was very proud that SABC had gone on a 24-hour news channel. As I said, I travel a lot in West Africa and in East Africa because of ministry and because of business. And the quality of our product is exceptional. It really is exceptional. Closest to the flag is our national pride. And that's why I was asked the question, why do you want to be in the SABC? I don't like to be a spectator of things that are close to my heart. I want to be part of it if I have the opportunity to fix and to. I don't believe in just living for me, but I believe, which is literally my calling and ministry, I believe in giving back. Because I was given, and that's the reason why I was able to make it. So for me, going to the SABC board would be an honor, because when I look at it in comparison to what is out there, it's exceptional. It's an exceptional brand with exceptional quality. So, was it a good decision to go on DSTV, sir? Or to go or not go on SABC on its own channel? My previous feedback from the media was that when SABC went on its own, you know, the previous year, this wasn't the first time it was done, you know, but it was, it's the second attempt to go into SABC as a 24-hour news channel. And we had an Africa channel, I remember, we had SABC Africa that went on longer than the normal. But I can't ask the merits of that. It's a competitor. But I mean, I read what the group COO said, was that, you know, that was the comment we all know. But yes, it's a competitor because it becomes a bit difficult with regards to chasing revenue. Because advertisers would advertise on SABC around the news spot because that's you reach more audience. But that revenue will be diluted because you have an extra fee to pay. You now have to pay the cost of DSTV to be on. But I'm sure that financial decisions were looked at and a decision was made that that's a big route. But what, so in answering, was it technically, I can't answer the technical because I didn't see the decision, but was it the right decision? I believe that SAP is a beautiful gateway to Africa, for South Africa. And I believe that the brand is valued in growing market share for brands that are multinational in South Africa that want to expand and grow into those countries or are already present in those countries. And this is an opportunity for them to advertise, to increase the advertising spend.
Thank you. I'll take follow-ups, but we've got only 15 minutes remaining. I'll start with Honorable Soma, has been up for some time, follow with saying I see Honorable Mrutuwa and Tandi in that order.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Ms. Matikiza. You are right that in the process of responding to our colleague's question, she would respond to what I wanted to make a follow-up on. However, Chair, the only thing that I couldn't get is the appreciation from my side that she understands the role of the board and the executive as it may. And I also make a reference in terms of the Act of Section 13 of 13 in terms of what the board is charged to do in terms of the LAPC as it may. I asked that one deliberately with an understanding that she has been also a consumer of information, not necessarily knowing in depth in terms of what went on in the SAPC. But I just want to know that and how, if we are lucky enough and to be part of the new board, how what value add do you bring in terms of ensuring that that negative issues or issues that were happening at SAPC as you have picked up from the media, history doesn't repeat itself. The other one, Chair, that one didn't get it very clearly, but I think she has, I'll leave it that one. Why she understands the laws that governs the SAPC as it may, public entities as it may. I thought she was going also to talk to the issues of policy and aiming policies at that level, her understanding thereof. But I do also say, not be hard on her that without also undermining her experience in terms, but from her responses also, the broader appreciation of the such board that she might not be able to respond to that, but one would have understood because I asked the issue of the regulator and the SABC. The regulator in this instance is in CASA. So I don't think you're going to talk to that, having done at home, as you said you have done, Chairperson. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Zom.
Staying on at the last part of my question was coming to some.
Thank you, Honorable Mrutuwa.
Thank you, Chairperson. Ms. Matikiza, what should be the role of a public broadcasting in a digital multi-channel? Also to add on to that, do you think in this environment it's still important to have a public broadcast, a PBS or otherwise? I wanted to know, just frankly, you know, because at times there is controversy, you know, about the news or what has to be said in a public broadcasting corporation. And you have different opinions coming from political parties. I'm asking you because we are heading for elections. I understand that you say you come from
being an armchair person, just looking at the SABC from afar. You see, Chairperson, I've got this, the questions that we are asking from Madam Matisa are questions that we are asking somebody who is supposed to dream being in the SABC board. You must dream that if I were to be part of the board, what would I do in this case? In all these questions that we are asking, it mustn't be a reply from a person who's an onlooker from outside. That's what we are expecting from her. So I need to get a question, a reply from her, as a person who would be appointed maybe to be in the SABC board, and maybe being lucky also to be appointed as a chairman. You don't know, you know what might happen tomorrow. And these are the responses that I would like to get from anyone who is a candidate here. And this one I'm asking because I think the controversy that I'm talking about, it needs somebody who has a good strategy and who would understand where we come from. That is the question I would like to ask the second question about what you think about the challenges that are in the SABC sometimes. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you, Honorable Thambi.
Thank you, Chairman. My question on corporate governance has not been answered. Maybe I need to again rephrase it so that you understand what our friend said. Madam, you note that at Kingsbury it has got a chapter that is dedicated to boards and directors. And I highlights the pivotal roles and responsibilities of the board in achieving good governance. So in your response, I think I raised the issue of Section 56 of the Companies Act. Then that deals with your director's responsibilities, because being a board member, you are a director. And then maybe you share with us with regard to the standards of conduct as a director, conflict of interest, how you handle that, the liability of director. You share with us those things. And then linking it to the PFM, Public Finance Management Act. If afforded an opportunity, because I've given you a background to say LABC was not, these challenges of corporate governance, they remain critical for LABC. And then how will you go about being a director of that level?
Thank you, Honorable Mthambi. Those were the three follow-up questions. May you please be straight to the point, no preempts and examples. Just respond to the questions. Over to you.
Thank you so much. The question that was asked was my understanding of the broadcasting environment with regards to the role of the regulator and ICASA. Being ICASA and the SABC. My understanding of the role of ICASA is they are the regulator to ensure that the license conditions that were given to the broadcasters adhere to as stipulated by those conditions. That is my understanding of what ICASA's role as the regulator, be it license conditions for ETV, for independent radio, community radio, or the public broadcaster. They are the oversight to make sure that the license conditions that were issued, that were given to broadcast and which they broadcast are adhered to and are complied with. What is the role of the digital if I understand, what is the role of the digital multi-channel of the SABC, if that's the correct question. My understanding is that the digital migration will give us clarity and better picture and access to more, a better spectrum. So a lot more people will be able to get access to television and radio network. That is my understanding of that. So it's an advantage to clarity and access as well for the broader community and the public at large. You asked, is there a role for public broadcaster in the future? There is a role for public broadcaster in the future. But it's about, my view, it's about managing the stakeholders and contribution thereof. I spoke to, you said, do you want to hear my dream? I spoke to my dream of saying, is that when I was asked to frankly say, what do I think went wrong with the SABC? And I said, beyond the politics was the blurring of responsibility and the fact that the SABC was not made purely to, there were no clear targets. To my knowledge, that say this is how much revenue you must bring in order to be sustainable. The government is not automatically going to give you money. You must make the SABC profitable. Although government is a stakeholder, you must make it profitable as the executive of the SABC. So what you said is there a role of a public broadcaster? Yes. There's still a role for not for profit sake only, but to ensure that everybody is catered for.
Can I just lift up your mind?
Yeah, that's where with the, you know, the auction debates. That day, I wanted to know actually, should it be confined to the SBC only?
The question is the confinement in relation to public broadcasters. Different countries have got different approaches. I won't go into that at length. Probably if you just understand the question, whether it should be only be confined to SABC, then you may respond.
Ma'am, I have not been able to even look at case studies in different countries with regards to that particular question. The question that you asked, ma'am, was on corporate governance, which is basically the fiduciary duties and roles of the director and the board members, and what is the standard conduct. Now, according to the Companies Act, the role of the director is to make sure and act always up, just upfront for the best interest of the company. And that is by being ethical, legally accountable for the financial management of the organization to a point where you're not only accountable as a director, but you are personally accountable for the financial management of the company. So there's a personal liability as well with regards to the financial management of the company. And should there be conflict of interest, that should be, as part of ethics, should be declared upfront that this could be an area of a conflict of interest. So the ethics of that person should be unquestionable with regards to communicating the conflict of interest and also understanding that you are personally and legally liable for the financial responsibility of that organization or the conduct, should there be a mismanagement, therefore. So there's criminal, my understanding of it within the board where I sit, there's criminal liability. So that's your fiduciary duty to understand that there's criminal liability with regard to the financial management. Should there be a mismanagement to the individual being the director that is in the company, that has taken that responsibility of being on the company. So the ethics should be unquestionable with regard to adhering to that. And there should be transparency. And you also spoke about PMA. That's without a doubt, that's the law. So without a doubt, that has to be accountable for. One has to be accountable to that with regards to how public finance management act requires expenditure, how tenders should be, carried out, who should qualify, the process of transparency. So that is the nature of the law. That has to be, you know, there's no bending of that. And that is what I expected from the director, as I said, because according to the Company Act, you are legally and personally criminally liable should there be mismanagement. So going on board, one needs to understand that. And then I will say, in closing, if I can say, that you'd like to have a reply from the person who dreams of SABC and dreams to be on the board of the SABC. My response to that is that the reason why I took up this opportunity was precisely because of that. Not only do I believe it's, and I know you said that I should not, or a person should not be talking from a armchair perspective, but I think it should be fair for me to note that the questions that I was being asked to be technical about involved actually being on the board. And I could not take the liberty of knowing, of saying, I know for sure this is the reason. Where I did not know, I will not take the liberty. It would be untrue for me to say, this is what should happen. Because there are factors that I did not know about, which I stipulated in the beginning, that I could only take from what I read. And from what I understand in the communication process, having worked in government, there's always two sides, the journalist view and what the person who was actually involved says. As I said, I work for both mayors. I work for Mayor Fekeso and I work for then Mayor Zena. So it was all of the dispute how the article comes out at the end. It is because of that that I cannot categorically say that this is the reason and this is why I believe they're wrong. They will have different views. There are also candidates that will be coming here who were on the SABC board and they will give you their view. But to be asked technically of what I believe went wrong, I will give you what I believe, understanding the media environment. But my dream for the SABC, and why I want to be on the board, and why I believe I should be on the board, is because words, the imagery and the words that we see, for me, SABC, I keep on, and maybe I did not allude to it a lot, but I keep on saying, for me, the SABC has a different role. Over and above, an additional role to what it does, it's not only to inform, to educate, and to entertain, it's to inspire South Africans. And that's important because people are formed by words. So what we see is a reflection of who we are. And as a communicator and as a marketer, the role I want to play is to bring about an interview that is inspirational, both to work on, to work in, because we adhere to corporate governance issues, and we enjoy working at the SAP because we are proud of working at SABC. And the products that we put out inspire South Africans to achieve greater heights. Because what we hear on radio, from some kids living in Limpopo, some child in the Eastern Cape in the rural areas, the radio is the only way they dream for a better life. And for me, that's the SABC that I want to be part of, that inspires
people. I can see what you are marketing SABC.
No,
you are doing very well. We are doing very well. There was a question in relation to Section 16 of the Broadcasting Act around the disqualification. Is anything in relation to Section 16 which might make you unappointable to the board?
Not to understand, but
are you clear about Section 16? What does it mean? The content of Section 16?
From when I read it, I did understand it. I mean, I could have more clarity from a legal framework, but not to my knowledge.
No, if you have read it and you there's nothing which disqualifies you, that's okay. You can switch off your mic. I just wanted to mention because you have to qualify in terms of Section 16. Remember, any follow-up? Thank you very much. We are coming to an end of our interaction, which has taken almost 1 hour, 20 something minutes. In closing, is anything you want to say? But don't interview us, just less than a minute.
The committee, I can't interview you because I'd ask you as a committee, what role did you play to make sure the SAPC is stable? I'd really like to ask that as a committee because the board was in here and presented. Those are the questions I asked from my armchair. What did the committee and the chair and the minister do to bring stability? I was not allowed to interview. I asked that question.
Thank you. Honorable Mrutwa.
I know you are not allowed to, not that we are suppressing, but I think because of the time, but that's a genuine question. And I just wanted to say this is part of what we are doing, improve the ability. Hence, we have to expand on what we are preparing for. These are the things that we need.
Thank you. Thank you very much. All the best. In your endeavor to be part of the SAPC board.
Thank you so much, and thank you for the opportunity and your valuable time. I appreciate the experience. Thank you.
Thank you. Go well. All the best. Keep us in your prayers. I hear you say, Pastor, keep us in your prayers. I thought the Bible is saying you must also pray for those who are in charge of running a country. Thank you. Our apology advance that for the disturbance. You have been in this, you understand. You understand very well. Members, let us proceed with our third candidate, Mr. Africa. You are most welcome. I hope they gave the crash course for the equipment, but I know you are familiar with. Just get something they have not gave you to write, so that as members ask, you can short questions. Because sometimes we just take three sets of questions at once, just to speed up the process. But where you don't understand the question, probably indicate so that a member can repeat the question which is asking. Members, as they ask you questions, they will be introducing themselves. You might have the disadvantage of knowing all of them, especially those who are not going to ask questions, but those who are going to ask you know. Their names and so on. So you are most welcome, feel free and relax. You are familiar with this process, I suppose. We are about to start. But probably I will introduce myself. I'm Skumuzo Erkoran, chairing the session for this interview. Just to break an ice, probably when you respond to my question, also introduce yourself into details so that we know who are we talking to. But my question is very simple. Probably might be the last, but I've got a second one if it's not covered. It's around the issue that we need 12 people out of the 86 which were shortlisted. Short listed 37 and one withdraw, then we got 36. The question is why it should be, you should form part of the platform. What is it which you have in terms of skill and capacity which you think qualifies you that this committee might consider you at the last of the term? So introduce yourself, and as you enter into that question, then the after will take members. Questions to ask their question. Over to you.
Thank you, Chair and honourable members. I must appreciate the honour and the privilege to appear before you and indeed to engage with you on what is seemingly a very important process. Chair, my name is Dati Africa. I come from Udi, I was from Cyber, and for the better part of my life, are engaged in community and labor organizations in the main at the forefront of forming such organizations. And I think the opportunity that is provided today to me is a chance to really indicate that throughout my young student's life until I came into government in 1994, I was always inspired by the values that are entrenched, more especially in our constitution, but also by the need to serve people and to serve them with the best of my ability. I acquired experience in various ways. I initially was involved in forming community radio stations in the 90s, one of which is Radio Temani, which is operating at the moment. I was the founder member of that community radio station and also played a key role in the formation of Valta, which is also a community-based radio station. The reasons were very simple, but quite profound, that we needed an informed community, an informed public. And at the time, you understand the initial stages when of the SABC at the time. So there was this move to form community radio stations, and I became part of that. And also was quite critical in issues relating to educating communities. I served in a research organization in the Denver case, which was part of Inlogov, that was to lay the foundation for the development of policy around issues of governance and local government, especially where eventually became a meeting for local government for 10 years. My focus has always been issues of governance, accountability, and the need to combine and harmonize all of these things in any organization. Harmonize issues of accountability, governance, and of course ensure that all these things, the vision of the organization, all these things will impact in a positive way in that organization or in the organization that I am part of. And if you see this context, that I felt when I was called upon to come and be part of this process, that I thought I could make a significant contribution, both from the community point of view, a governance point of view, and an accountability point of view. The intersection of these issues in any organization will decide the success or otherwise of that organization. And I think the SABC, as it is common knowledge, has had profound difficulties in the past. And those profound difficulties have almost had the effect for the perception of the effect of diminishing its value, making people not so trust it, because some of these elements that constitute this combination making of that organization effective were not intersecting properly. And I think that with the background that I had, both in community-based organizations and my experience in government since 1994 to 2009, where I was dealing with policy issues and also developing the framework, particularly on governance and some of the issues I mentioned, will give me an opportunity to make that contribution. But the government is always for those who engage with these processes, like yourself, is your judgment that will determine whether the contribution or the issue I raised will have a significant significant impact in changing the direction, even the age, the digital age that we're in, for broadcasting across the world, the direction that we want the public broadcast to take. And I think on the basis of this brief history, I will be able to make a humble contribution to the collective that constitutes the 12 men and women whom the committee would have decided are capable enough to run and direct and guide their efforts.
Thank you, Mr. Richards. That's, I see the hand of Honorable Drogen, Honorable Murutua, Honorable Soma, Honorable Shin, Honorable Killen, Honorable Ekrane, Honorable Singh, and Honorable Tan. Members, before you ask questions, can I ask members just to ask two questions? Unless the other members, they don't ask your question, then you can come later again. But for now, just two questions, so that we try to manage also the issue of time. Nicole Drogen.
Thank you, Chairperson. Welcome. My name is Wilma Nieuwoud-Drogen, and I'm a member of this committee. In 2007, the ruling party made the decision at their conference that the SABC will be funded by government. Your view on that? Or do you think that the SABC should be funded by the commercial market up there? That's the one question. Secondly, is there anything against you that can disqualify you for being appointed on this board? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. You cannot that effort. Just to text you respond then. Honourable Ruta.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Story Mutua. Good afternoon, Mr. Africa. Yes. My question will be, as far as I've listened to you, you are quite cognizant with the laws that are relating to broadcasting. Now, I just wanted to know, what is your understanding of the broadcasting environment in South Africa in a converged environment? You remember that the convergence that I'm talking about brought about the ECA. And also, in this environment, what would your opinion be about the technology on development? And the second one, Chairperson, is according to the South African Broadcasting Corporation, we are having opinions from different people who have compared it with other countries. And I would like to ask you if what should be the role and purpose of the public broadcasting in a digital multi-channel environment? Do you think there will still be a need for a public broadcasting service? And do you think this public broadcasting service provision will be confined to one institution, that is SABC? Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Murutua. Honorable Soma.
Thank you, Honorable Chair, and thank you, Mr. Africa, and thanks for having yourself to the interview and showing interest in servicing the country. Chair, based on the introduction that Mr. introducing himself, Mr. Africa, one would like to ask through you, Chairperson. Mr. Africa, in your understanding, what is the role of the board versus the executive directors? And most importantly, from where I'm sitting, what is the functions and responsibilities of the group chief executive officer, the editor-in-chief, versus the functions of the heads of radio, television, sports, education, news? should the group chief executive officer and editor chief roles and responsibilities be separated? If they are responsible, why? May you support that? If it's not, may you kindly also give us a supporting statement that supports that. Secondly, Chairperson, through you, Mr. Africa, Section 6 of 5 of the Broadcasting Act, and as I also, from what I've heard, that you are aware in terms of the government laws and the act that governs this country, but in particular I'm referring to the institution that you are interested in terms of servicing as a board member, requires the board of the SAPC to develop a range of policies, as it may, through a process of public consultation, which among other things include news policy, programming policy, local content policy, education policy, and the like. The Act, however, is not clear on what the regulator's role should be in regard to the policies. Apart from merely stipulating that SAPC board launch such policies with ICASA, without spelling out whether the regulator has to monitor the compliance and the implementation of thereof with it and or incorporated them into license conditions. From your point of view or your view, Mr. Africa, what is your view should be the relationship between the SAPC and the regulator as it may? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Honorable Zisoma. Can you see stomach one? Let's go for one, then you may respond. Honorable Killen? Honorable Sheen, both Honorable Sheen and Honorable Killen, you're welcome.
Thank you, Chairperson. Mr. Epke, when you were talking to us about motivating your, why we should consider you for the SAPC, you said you were called upon to apply for, to put yourself forward for the board. There's no nomination letter in your file. Can you tell us who actually invited you to apply? And then I would like to know, what is it about broadcasting that particularly excites you that you want to get involved in it? There's many other things you could, your talent could get involved in, your expertise is in local government. What is it that interests you about broadcasting?
I think that was quick and short. You can take the last one, Honorable Killen.
Chairperson, yes. Firstly, I would like to know how Mr. Africa believes that his radio community, his community radio background would serve him well in the public broadcaster, and secondly, what his views are about ensuring that the public broadcaster is not only respecting the mandate and the different policies to provide independent views and representing the broad public and very often conflicting views within South African public, and how his background as having served as a politician would impact on the credibility of the broadcaster if he serves in the board. Thank you.
It will be too much, I suppose. You may respond, Mr. Africa.
Thank you, Chair. The first question was about the funding of the public broadcaster, and reference was made to what the ruling party said in 2007. I'm sure you would also, members, be aware that some of the values and principles that underpin the operation of the SABC derive from the Constitution. And the SABC has itself said it wants to educate, inform, and entertain. Now, if you have a system, a democratic system such as ours, where you need the views of the people to inform democracy, you certainly will need a public broadcaster that is capable, that is efficient, that is effective, and that is respected to operate and to provide that public service. and the or public broadcasting service. And the government, and I want to make a distinction here, that the public broadcaster is not necessarily a mouthpiece of government. It is doing what it does in the interest of advancing the values that are encapsulated in the Constitution, diversity, unity, development, and democracy. Now, any democratic government which also supports these values and have enacted legislation to that effect will be obliged to support such a public broadcaster in the interest of the public, in the interest of development, and in the interest of the democracy. So I when parties, or the ruling parties, are ruling parties, and when ruling parties become government, they are obliged by what is in the Constitution, which is in the interest of everybody, to do what would support the values enshrined in that Constitution, diversity, etc. and so on. And the public broadcaster would then have to be impartial in pursuit of these objectives and principles and values. Like you say, the empowering the people, but also informing them about the democratic values that they must embrace, and therefore it would have to act in that space, despite the fact that it has been funded by the party that would be government, the ruling party, would act in the context of the Constitution. Sometimes it's not wise to have commercial dominance of funding in public broadcasting, because you have interests that are not necessarily similar to interests that are contained or interests that would be expressed through the values that are in the Constitution. So it's not wise to do so. There are a variety of ways, of course, which the public broadcaster, you know, advertising can raise those funds, but the government has an obligation in the interest of the people to make sure that a public broadcaster, and that's the underlying way the public broadcaster is able to serve the interest of the people in promoting democracy and many other values that define who we are, diversity and our unity. The public broadcaster is a national treasure. It is a national treasure that must promote national identity, and that national identity is about the Constitution, and therefore funding must be something that all of us would urge for when we talk about the public broadcaster. Well, I do not think that I don't know of anything that is disqualifying serving the board. Members are free to check my background in various ways. All public broadcasting throughout the world are embracing technology. The FADC has got its own approach to technology, and I think my own view is that we cannot avoid the inevitable. Technology, you are going to have a whole range of convergence of all things in the digital environment. That's where technology is going to play a major role. All public broadcasters in the world are embracing technology. So technology is critical to the development and efficiency of any public broadcast, so that it can increase its own spectrum and be able to meet the needs of the communities across the board. Of course, you need a strategy to implement that. You need resources to implement to embrace that technology. There's a need. Many countries, I'm sure, over 50 or so that we have probably looked at that have got public broadcasting, major democracies had some some other smaller democracies have public broadcasting. The future of public broadcasting, for as long as we are an emerging, a maturing democracy, is going to be very critical. You need an informed nation. You also need a nation that will enjoy the existence of public broadcasting with all its programming and so on. And therefore you need that so that access, universal access, should be available to all the people. So would, there may be different opinions that many people would think that technology is going to diminish. You know, people would have the access to technology. There are many things that are going to challenge the existence of public broadcasting or a public broadcaster. But my simple view is that let's look at South Africa. If Britain could have had that for so many years, and it's an advanced democracy, America could have had that for so many years, why should we even raise the question of its relevance today? When we are still, it's 75 years old, but the other years were not spent with this democracy. The other years were spent elsewhere. We have spent with this democracy a few years of this public broadcaster, and we need it as our democracy matures. So people could have different opinions, of course, and as it evolves, as his views evolve, and probably people come to certain conclusions, but my view is in South Africa, the debate about whether we need it or not is premature, because our democracy needs to inform our people, or every broadcaster needs to inform our democracy on behalf of the people. They will only know what is happening in this democracy through the public broadcaster. When there are various roles, there are various roles. It depends. There are non-profit organizations. There are profit-making organizations that have got boards and so forth. If you serve as a member of the SABC board, it means you are serving a higher ideal. And that ideal is the interest of the people. Everything is anchored on the Constitution, and everything is anchored on how we would want the ideal South Africa to be that going forward. So if you serve in that board, you would then have to understand how to manage the growing tensions, you know, and how to guide people who are part of the management of the South African Broadcasting Corporation, so that the conflict, the tensions, the profound chaos is minimized, so that the image of the organization is such that it is positive, but it does not divert people, you know, people have got opinions about the public broadcaster. And it is not because it exists, it is because of how they have experienced its operations over the last few years or so. So I do think that the board will have to do what is contained, in the charter, to make sure that the operations of the FABC are impeccable in the interest of the people. Well, an organization that is confronted by technology cannot stay in one place. You need to clarify the roles more properly within the organization itself. But I do think that the role you said, the role of the group chief executive officer must be separate from, I didn't get the question, from the role of the group chief executive officer who is also, you know, guided by the board, is the face, in a sense, the board is the face of the organization. The group CEO is the one who acts on behalf of that face of the organization to execute the policies that the board would have developed. And therefore, you need a clearer role. You don't need a combined responsibility. You need a clearer role for the group chief executive officer so that the lines of accountability, you'll recall that I spoke about governance and accountability. The lines of accountability and the harmony between vision, accountability, and governance in an organization is not confusing. So you need clearer to I wouldn't support a view that says, no, bring them together. Must separate them. The issue about public consultation. When I was looking at the reports of the SAPC, some of the reports of the SAPC, it became evident that many of those issues, for instance, certain policies, you know, policy perspectives were not achieved. And part of, even in their own stakeholder meetings, they acknowledge that the public still has issues about the SAPC. So my take would be public consultation in a public broadcaster or by a public broadcaster is at the center of empowering the citizens, as the SAPC says. You need to earn their respect, you need to earn their confidence on that institution. And what better way to do that, if not to consult? I mean, to consult with them, you know what people need, how to inform your policies going forward, what kind of programming you need to have, and how you must entertain them, what kind of education you need to have, or how you should educate them, what kind of programs you need. I mean, people don't know, many people don't know the essence of the SAPC, the public broadcaster in society. Who is supposed to tell them about the value of a public broadcaster in democracy, if not the very people who populate that organization? To say, we serve a public good, and this public good is intended to help in various ways, one of which would be promoting democracy and so on. And therefore, the regulator should be in a position to ensure that they monitor that. They may want to include that in the licensing conditions, because it's a fundamental thing about perceptions, you know. An organization that shouldn't be seen to be too far from the people. It must be an organization that is part of the people, because it must help people to inform their own democracy. And that is why I think public consultation is critical. And that must be underpinned by a very strong relationship with the regulator. A cooperative, so to speak, relationship. Well, the honorable member asked me about who nominated, or I'll call, I use the word called upon. I was using it in a public context, rather than, you know, somebody calling me to come. There is a nomination letter here, and the person who nominated me says, Mr. Thomas, Thomas Maumela, on the 17th of July, 2013, he has nominated me. And I have it here. I'm not sure why it shouldn't be part of the package that the member would have received. There is nothing as exciting as being part of an evolving environment. As I said, 75 years of the SABC, but we have spent in a democratic dispensation only 20 or 18 or 20. So I'm excited that we'd be able to anchor the SABC in a true sense of serving the public good, being public broadcaster. So my excitement is that I'm very passionate about education, having studied myself when I was already in government. I think that if the public broadcaster can play that role, I'm not saying it's not, can play that role effectively, you know, educating. And there are many ways of educating. Raising public consciousness, raising patriotic consciousness, that is something that will only excite everybody, not only myself, but everybody who values this democratic dispensation and the means and tools used to promote these values. So I would be excited in that instance. My radio, community radio background will serve me well. I mean, what is the distinction between a community and a public broadcaster? How do you determine that distinction sharp? The very people who are called the public are these communities. They constitute the public, but they are communities on their own. And they are as important as the collective of all of us. And therefore, that background would help in that regard to understand, you know, how the community or how my radio, a community radio background can serve me well to participate. I'm not saying this is the most perfect or inspiring background. I'm saying it is a foundation, because you can't define a community outside the public scope. A community is part of that public scope. And a combination of communities constitutes the public, or if you want, a community can also become the public on its own. And therefore there is no contradiction in these issues. Well, it's normal. Public broadcasters will always be the recipient of conflict views. What is important is how they use their editorial policies and the policy framework that they have to manage those conflicts. And I would emphasize once again, in the public interest. Because sometimes conflicting views are not necessarily, it may be opinions of people that are now elevated to public views. And the public broadcaster has a whole range of policies to manage those contradictions. My background will not change. Having been an activist of the ANC and a politician working in the public interest, what I have learned is the need in all our work, the need to embrace fairness and the need to promote the notions of the values that are enshrined in the Constitution of justice, unity, and the respect of diversity. I wouldn't have learned those things if I was not a politician, and they were sharply in our eyes. And that's why I would understand how to manage those kind of tensions where the background can suddenly can be used to deny a person the opportunity to present a balanced approach to issues. So I don't think my background will impact negatively. In fact, it has been a much more instructive lesson of how to avoid being narrow and how to avoid being partisan. Thank you.
Thank you. Just please switch off the mic. On my list, I've got Honorable Keka, Stain, Tambi, Sebe, and Lazi. Honorable Keka,
you have an active background of establishing community-based radio, I assume, even in the rural areas. When we did move aside, they were actually complaining that part of the reason why they are not performing well is they are overridden by SABC as a national broadcaster. Do you think you should study the process the way that instead of overriding them, SABC could help community radio stations, especially in the rural areas, in terms of achieving the things that you've spoken about, the democracy, the diversity, the constitutional pursuit of human rights, all those kind of things. Do you think SAPC has a role?
Thank you, Dr. Kekane. Honorable Singh.
Thank you, Chairperson. My name is Butch Stein, Mr. Africa. Prior to 1994, when you were appointed AC for local government and housing in Northwest Provincial Government, were you employed or did you hold any management or position in any private business entity? And then secondly, noting that the SABC is a state broadcaster, and given the fact that you are currently employed by the Northwest Provincial Government, do you not believe that there may be a problem with you then serving on the board? Thank you.
Thank you. Honorable Dami.
Thank you,
sir. Just a correction quickly, if I may.
That's all, Honorable Dami. Honorable Stein.
Thank you. Sorry, I meant to say the SABC being a public broadcaster, but funded and answerable to the state, to government. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dami.
Thank you, Chair. My name is Sage Mushan. I'm a member of this committee. Mr. Ahmed, considering it is dedicated the entire chapter to board and director, and it highlights the pivotal role directors and committees of the board must perform in assisting good governance. You might have observed what has been happening in the SABC. And then some of the challenges of the SABC performance and corporate governance. Then, if I'm not in the position to serve in this board, what will you do differently in order to ensure that SABC does comply with the constitutional provision, the Public Finance Management Act, and also the Kingsley Report? Also, check us your confidence on the understanding, on your understanding with regard to the Director of Companies Conduct. If you read Section 66 of the Companies Act, it also talks about judicial duty, the duty of care and diligence. In your response, we would like you to also deal with the issue of conflict of interest, though it was asked, and also deal with the issue of liability of directors. Also to say, issue of liability, the liability of the directors.
Thank you, Ms. Rothschild.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. You'll pardon me if there's any repetition and call me to order the last section because I have to go outside. Even I remember speaking, so I won't know if there's any repetition, but I'll accept if you call me to order. Thank you very much again, Chair. Re Africa, my name is Susan Zebe. I have two questions for you. Number one is around separation of power. Especially based on your experience, you are once as a policy maker. What do you think the role of the minister in regard to the running of the SABC with the SABC board should be? How should they react for the best interest of the community, as you have been saying continuously when you are responding? And then, in addition to that, I want you to share with us, because in your presentation, I could see that you have been following what has been happening at the SABC, including reading some of the documents like your federal record national report. In your views, do you see any political interference, especially from the shareholder for the past 5 months? I don't want to say currently.
But currently, it really says no. Let's say maybe for the past 5 months, did you observe any political interference by the shareholder? How should they behave with the board? Second, we check, based on experience in government and community involvement, and I think these are your strong points in addition to cooperative governance issues. How will this assist you to contribute if by any chance you get appointed to the board, to the daily smooth running of the SABC, and to bring unity and stability within the corporation itself, among, especially among members? It's a fact that in this period, already 5 years term that we are in, there's been a lot of instability at SABC. I don't know how many times did we interview, did we appoint. Currently, we have an interim board. But the key to SABC board, it has been instability, lack of cooperation among board members, mistrust. With the skill that we have, how will we implement it to assist to make sure that at the end of the day, there is stability, there is unity at the board? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Tambi. Does it? My apologies, you know, I always mix things. I kill people are still alive. I say they are dead. Now I say Tambi. You know, that's really confused. My apology, Honorable Sir.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm mostly covered by the speakers who have already asked the questions, because my last question was going to be, here we are striving to create a functional team for SABC board. How long do you think will take you to connect and work harmoniously with the new people whom we are going to work with? Thank you.
Thank you. That was the last question I had. That Africa, you may respond, but don't be long on your response. But give us all the information we need.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chair. Starting from the question of Honorable Kekana, it would be ideal, Honorable Kekana, if the public broadcaster, recognizing its own mandate and operating in the context of its own values of citizen empowerment, etc., and the issues of partnerships, as articulated in many of the documents, it would be ideal if the SABC in its wisdom, or let's say maybe the board, could acknowledge the value of partnership between community radio stations, because if, and of course there will be some discussions about what they serve, whether they are profit or non-profit, etc., and so on. But the principle of partnership, because it is there, is one of the values that the SABC embraces. So it's important that they should now take that into ground, now implement and practice that in real terms. Because it is in the rural areas where we have probably the least access. There are many areas, I mean, it's only in the new dispensation or maybe a few years ago that people in our province had SABC2 after concerted interventions to say that people in this village can only hear radio Botswana, but they are part of this country. They couldn't get that. It is a rural area, far flung. If there was a recognition that we are a public broadcaster, we serve the interests articulated and the values expressed in the preamble to the Constitution to work towards building this nation, it would be maybe good to work with community radio stations more especially in the rural areas. You could have a criteria that you determine to say, how do we then work with them to advance our public mandate? So I think that it's something that might be, you know, considered by policymakers as well. Well, prior to 1994, Honorable Stein, I'd always been an activist. I served in community structures. I served in a research organization in the then Northern Cape prior to 1994. And prior to 1994, we were busy trying to establish Red Otemani in that context, in that area as well. So I would not have served in any private business entity at the time. But I think the judgment of the board would determine the response to this one, or the problem to this one. When you are called upon, and I may say that where I am, I was actually serving a short-term contract to establish a planning commission to assist in that regard, which contract would be coming to an end very soon in the new year. And I don't think that that could be a problem going forward. The King 3, Honorable Butandi, King 3 set the stage of good governance and accountability. These corporate governance principles really are about when directors take decisions. Governance is about taking decisions that you must implement, and sometimes you take them without implementing them. And that's what creates chaos and problems in an organization, where you have meetings where people take decisions and they don't implement them. Good governance is really about taking decisions which you implement, and if you don't implement them, you must have a good reason why you are not implementing those decisions. Because the framework determined by King was to try and assist South African companies to manage themselves much better, and that is why they came up with this corporate governance notion. If an organization, and I spoke about the combination or the harmonization of accountability, good governance, and the vision of the organization. If there is no harmony there, there is chaos. And therefore, there would be no respect. People will not even see that there is a king existing, and they will not even know that there's a PFMA that regulates the way in which must manage public funds in the public interest. So I think that this King 3, or all corporate governance principles broadly, and what's contained in the PFMA, are very clear on what our fiduciary responsibilities should be to serve in any board and company, or in any board, any company. About the liabilities, I mean, if people are messing up an organization, why can't you hold them responsible? If people are messing up an institution, why don't you hold them responsible? So I think they must. I think this is something that nudges people to be aware of the responsibilities they carry, and not to think that they are in a sort of grab and run environment, because there are no laws, there are no, you know, there's nothing that says don't do it. If you do it, you'll be held responsible. If you do it, you'll be fired. The SABC will take probably a long time to recognize, and I think those who are in it do know that it's an important organization for South Africa and for Africa. It is an organization that should not take its role lightly in serving the public inside the country, but also in dealing to any other point in the continent Therefore, if you have a strong accountability structure, a combination clear on structure, vision, governance, and accountability, the image of the organization is likely, and I'm not saying guaranteed, is likely to be restored. Honorable Chair, about the separation of powers, I'm sure the role of the minister in the Act is very clear. The minister is the embodiment of the broad policy framework, which then, that policy must then be customized by the board for the organization. And in an environment like that, where you have joint responsibility for policy interpretation, for policy implementation, and for policy certainty, you need to work together very closely. You need to work together very closely. I don't want to get into to trouble with the other one. My own view is that I have not heard of any, you know, substantive of any interference except the desire to correct things. Political interference is a heavily loaded statement, and people tend to use it loosely. The desire to correct things in the interest of the public good is not necessarily political interference, because then it's a totally new debate as to what exactly. If something is going wrong, and they've formed it, and you fund it, as everybody has agreed, that it's funded because of the role that it plays. If it goes wrong, and you're a responsible member, why do you have to stay away? Why not intervene? Why do you have to be the one who motivates for the money, but then you can't solve the problems because somebody will say political interference? So I think we need to distinguish between a genuine desire to help to improve the operation of an organization and an attempt for partisanship. And we need to make a distinction between that, where it's a very heavy loaded statement. It's easily used. In almost every occasion. But it's a very heavily loaded statement. Once you say political interference, you conjure a whole range of things. And the public broadcaster, if it says its mandate correctly, if it works within the context of its own principles and it follows the Constitution, there should be no utterances of political interference, because it sticks to the rules and it sticks to the values that has also adopted and subscribes to. It has been very unfortunate that the SABC is a massive organization. And if it can only be remembered by the public of South Africa because of instability, it's an unfortunate scenario. Precisely because it diverts people from acknowledging the role of the public broadcaster in their own lives, because it is there in their face, it is in their rooms, and so on. And therefore, I don't have any magic, you know, wand to wave. It is only when there is a respect for systems, there's a respect for values, there's a respect and acknowledgement of the importance of policies, that the SABC would be able to be a sustainable broadcaster free from chaos and instability. Thank you, Chair. So the assistance, it's only sticking to the policies. They are there. The policies are there. The principles are there. Everything is there. The will is what needs to guide the implementation of policy to change the perception of our communities about what exactly the role and value of the SABC is in our society.
Thank you. Remember, that concludes the response to all the questions. And we are left with only 5 minutes. Honorable Kiran.
Thank you, Chairperson. I actually feel I wanted to follow up a little bit on this matter of political interference and how you see the role of board members. Just the issue of the mandate and the appointment of the board. Obviously, the committee exercises the interview, well, it has a role to interview. It then compiles the list, submits it to Parliament, Parliament adopts the list, and then it goes to the appointing body, who is the president. Now, that is formally, it's Parliament that goes through it, it's a multi-party committee, etc. However, in the recent past, the last board collapsed magically on one Sunday. And they clearly had directions from somewhere, which was supposedly from a political direction. If you are appointed, would you take your mandate from the Tuli House, or would you take it from Parliament and say, I will no longer be able to serve as a member?
Just hold on a book. I'm coming to the two hands. I just want to deal with these two issues. So that we continue the role. The first issue, public servants are not excluded to serve in the SABC board in terms of the act. It's not a disqualification. That is one issue, so we can't create our own disqualification. Just for record. Probably perception can be other things. Just for record. The second matter is I think in all fairness the candidate was asked about political interference and he responded on that particular matter. I don't know where your question is going to, but I will leave it to him if he will respond to that question. Honorable Murutwa and Brother Henry were up.
You know, Jonathan, I just wanted to say to you that our members, let us not bring unfounded statements and questions here. What Honorable Kilian is saying, I think she cannot prove what she's saying. Therefore, I'm dealing with you that that is no question as far as we're concerned. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think, Chair, you were correct. I think I have responded to the question as related to the separation of powers and the role of the minister as a shareholder and independence. And he was giving his own view. So I've not heard it that I can challenge somebody's own view. He's not saying it's written somewhere that this is what must happen. And he has also given us his thinking to say if 1, 2, 3, 4 can happen, it will avoid that perception. And his point of departure, I think as members here, it is also at our interest to protect the people who were called to interview. He said he has not heard of anything that there's interference in the SABC. He has not observed any political interference at SABC. But this is my view. That was his point of departure. So the follow-up that Honorable Kilian, I think it is uncalled for and so irrelevant. Unless Honorable Kilian wants to ask a totally new question to this regard. But as a follow-up to what I asked, I think it's so irrelevant to be a follow-up. Unless you want to put something on the mouth of somebody who has not said that. Thank you, Chair. We have called people here to interview them. We are also protect them.
Chair, it's, for me, thank you, Chair. It's a matter of principle.
that principle that also guides the interview in terms of its integrity. The questions that you ask in an interview should be consistent to all applicants. And I'm not too sure this one is applicable in that regard. Thank you, Chair.
No, thanks very much, members. I'm sure we are doing well. So let's just keep on doing what we'll be doing well. And not start to do other things. And Dr. Afrik, do you want to say something before I give you an opportunity to say the last word? But don't do what I've seen in one interview. We gave a candidate that opportunity, we were interviewed.
No, Chair, I don't want to be speculative on anything, so I take guidance from the House that the earlier response was sufficient to cover the concerns of the Honourable Member. Thank you.
Thank you very much. The reason I was raising the issue about public servants and so on was precisely because I don't want you to have the impression that being in the position which we are in currently has anything to do with disqualifications and other things, except that I think in terms of the public service regulation, you might, if you are appointed and still we are there, you might also get the consent of the principal at that particular time. But that's governed by the public service act or regulation around those particular matters. Members, if there's no other question, that will conclude the interview with Mr. Afrika. And thanks very much for your time, for your patience to wait whilst you were performing other duties. I must say we visited one of your community radio, but is that something like that? We went for oversight. We did visit it. I was happy when you said you were part of the founder of that community radio station and so on. Thanks very much. Anything before I release you?
No, Chair, I want to thank members for all their questions and also appreciate that I've had the opportunity to interact and where I had shortcomings, the members were able to fill me up in that regard. And I hope that everything will go well, and I wish the committee all the best in this endeavor. Thank you.
Thanks very much. Paying TV license for SAPC is the right thing to do. I hope you do pay your license. Thank you very much. We are done. Thanks very much, Dr. Afrika. Members, let's proceed to our next candidate. Number four, Ms. Kate Skinner. You are doing well, members. Just keep on to the good. Let's just avoid the other things too.
The chairperson made a very important matter, and that is we have had similar problems before.